a very controversial question in the religious world for a number of centuries is whether or not it is possible for a Christian to lose his salvation. What exactly does the Bible say along those lines? Let's look at five very clear passages that directly answer the question for us. First of all, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." Now, many denominations claim a Christian can't fall from grace, but this verse said that some did. Another verse that proves conclusively once saved, always saved is false is Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, which reads, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, the book of life is God's list of names of all the saved. If your name is in there, but then blotted out, that would mean you were saved, but then lost your salvation. And that is exactly what Revelation 3:5 indicates happens to people who don't live faithfully. There is just no way around it. Hebrews 3:12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Now, many say a true believer would never depart from the faith, but this passage makes it quite clear that is very possible. And then verse 14 adds that we are partakers of Christ only if we hold steadfast unto the end. The fourth passage I would like to notice is 2 Peter 2, 20-22. "For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." This text is talking about one who has escaped the sins of the world through Christ, that is, a Christian. If that person falls back into the sins of the world, this says it is worse for him than if he had never become a Christian to begin with. And a person that is worse off spiritually than a non-Christian is certainly not saved anymore. And then, lastly, James 5, 19-20. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." That text is talking about brethren, meaning Christians, and it says if any brethren err from the truth and we are able to win them back, we save their soul from death. Now that implies that if they are not won back, their soul would die, be lost forever. A clear instance of once saved, but not always saved. You know, I think the once saved, always saved doctrine is a good example of what we call wishful thinking. People teaching and believing what they want to be true instead of what the Bible actually says is true. Baptist preacher Vernon Barr once said, "Baptists teach that a child of God can do anything he wants to, and go to heaven anyhow." How are many of Mr. Barr's listeners likely to live? That's what makes this doctrine so dangerous. This is Pat Donahue, and we appreciate you listening to Bible Crossfire tonight. The number to call, as the announcer said earlier, is 1-877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. While we're waiting on our first call, obviously, we're talking about the doctrine of once saved, always saved. And one reason I chose to do that tonight is because toward the end of the program last week, we had a lot of interest, callers, and discussion about once saved, always saved. The Bible clearly shows on almost every page of the Bible that this doctrine is false. As I said, I think it's just wishful thinking. People want this to be true so they can feel comfortable, but the Bible teaches it's not true. The Bible actually teaches that once a person is a Christian, that he needs to remain a faithful Christian to be saved. that if he chooses to go back and live the ways of the world, he loses his salvation. Christ died for everybody. Those that trust and obey, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. They're going to be saved. But suppose a person trusts and obeys, but he quits trusting and obeying. The Bible teaches that he's wasting his opportunity. He loses the salvation provided for by the death of Christ. James from Beaumont, Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I wanted to talk about once saved, always saved. I heard you say something about the Book of Life, and it was always my teaching that when you are born, your name is wrote in the Book of Life, not when you save. And, you know, you have your life, and if you get saved, your name won't be blotted out.
Well, in Revelation 3:5, which is the passage we read that you heard, and thank you for your call, James, here's how Revelation 3:5 reads. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. Now, the book of life, James, your name's not written in that when you're born physically. Your name's written in the book of life when you're saved, when you're born again. When you're born again.
That's what I'm saying. When you are born, your name is written down in the book. You are living.
Right.
And that's where I think the confusion is, because, like I was saying, you're born, your life got life, and then if you get saved, your name won't be blotted out. But thank you very much.
Okay. James, thank you for your call. Now, the way James is taking the book of life, he's taking it to mean the names of all the people who are living physically. But that can't be true. That's not true, because Revelation 3:5 says that if you overcome, your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. Now, if the book of life is just a list of all the names that are living physically, that would then mean that you die physically if you don't overcome temptation, for example. And that's absolutely not true. We know all kinds of people who succumb to temptation all the time. They don't live the Christian life. They don't die physically. So this cannot be talking about physical life when it's talking about the book of life. It's talking about spiritual life. When a person is born again, born of water and the Spirit, John 3:3-5, his name is written into the book of life. This is spiritual life it's talking about, not physical life. And this verse in Revelation 3:5 then proves conclusively that once saved, always saved is not true, because it says it shows the possibility that a person's name could be blotted out of the book of life. Now, the person is not in the book of life to start with unless he's saved spiritually. He has spiritual life. Here it presents the possibility that if we don't overcome, like overcoming temptation, persecution, if we don't overcome, our name will be blotted out, which means we were saved spiritually at one time, and then not saved spiritually. Our name is blotted out of the book of life. Once saved, always saved is proven false conclusively by this verse and the other four passages that I read earlier in the program, and many other passages. Again, like I said last week, sometimes I tease, maybe it's an exaggeration, but I believe that if you'll turn to any random page in your Bible and tell me where you turn to, I can find a verse on that page that proves that once saved, always saved is not true. John from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I just had a comment on once saved, always saved. We've got a lot of friends who actually have believed that. And my thing to them was always, when we were talking about it, was I played basketball in high school. And to be considered a basketball player, I had to go to practice. I had to play in the games. I had to wear the uniform. I had to meet certain criteria to be a basketball player, and when I stopped meeting those criteria, nobody really ever, you know, nobody's going to consider you a basketball player if you're not doing the things to be that. And that's what I always give them, this example of a Christian. Yeah, you might have started out as a Christian, but if you don't continue to do the things that are required of you to maintain, you know, being a Christian, then why would someone consider you a Christian? You know, that was always that's the way I understood it. And it seemed to actually make sense to a lot of people who believe that doctrine, you know, of once saved, always saved. And I think it's a, I think it's a lie of the enemy, a blatant lie of the enemy. If you can get someone to believe they're okay and they're comfortable, they grow slack in God, then that's the quickest way to get into their life and cause them to be lost.
John, that's exactly right. The point you're making, it's a good point. I'm thinking of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And so we have to be faithful to receive that crown of life, which is going to be given to those, the saved people, in the end. You see what I'm saying, John?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I always like to revert back to, I guess, an everyday thing, because a lot of people, you can quote them scriptures and things, and sometimes it's a little more difficult to understand. And if you liken it to something that they're very familiar with, like sports or something like that, sometimes it's easier to get a point across. But I agree with you 100%, and I'm enjoying your program. I appreciate it.
John, you're right. An analogy, a good analogy or good illustration goes a long way in helping people to understand. One other point that John made that it reminded me of what I said a while ago when I quoted the Baptist preacher Vernon Barr, and that is, if you tell people, say you're a preacher, and you tell people over and over again that no matter how they live, they're still going to be saved, how do you think they're going to start living? Most people, if they hear that, are going to start living any old way they want to. That's why it's such a dangerous doctrine, very dangerous. Chris from Georgia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, hey, Patrick. I agree. It is such a tricky subject. It really is. And I'm not advocating in any way that the Christians, all of us, should be, you know, living sinful lives or not sinful lives one way or the other. My point is the doctrine that you're speaking of implies that on a certain day, let's say that you're having a bad day, you must have them just like I have them, okay? And I go to sleep at night, and you know what? Sometimes I get all my sins confessed, and I do a real good job. But you know what? Some days I don't. On the day that I don't, if I happen to get shot in the head that night, I'm sorry, my friend and my brother. I disagree with the doctrine that you're preaching, okay? I try my best, just as we all do. Salvation is not earned. I believe you understand this. I'm going to email you so that we can take up this conversation. I respect what you're saying, but I ask you to be careful about your interpretation of the gospel, and I look forward to you answering my email.
Chris, thanks for your very respectful call, question, and my email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com. I'll be glad to talk with you about this further over email. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Oh, I didn't mean to cut Chris off. I thought he was done. But one thing I'd like to mention about the argument that Chris made on the air is that the Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 7, "Seek and you shall find." So true seekers, those who are truly seeking God, will find God. They'll be saved. They won't be put in a position where they all of a sudden die and not be saved, even though they're truly seeking God. But to get at one of Chris's point about confessing Christ, I want to read 1 John 1:9 because it directly addresses what Chris says, and it shows that we have to confess our sins to be forgiven of them. It says in 1 John 1:9, talking to Christians, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now that says if we confess our sins, God will forgive us, talking about Christians. But if language means anything, that means that if we don't confess our sins, God will not forgive us. And so when a Christian sins, we have to repent of our sins, we have to confess. And if we don't, if we remain in rebellion to God, and that's what we're doing when we sin, we are rebelling against God. If we remain in rebellion to God, we will not be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. Daryl from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Okay, I was just thinking about when Jesus died on the cross for all sin, he paid the price for all sin. So what I'm thinking about is one thing you said was if we fall away or if we don't continue on the right path, that we could have our name blotted out of the book of life. But if he died for our sins, how can we sin and still get our name blotted out? Now I know it's different if you continue in sin, then you probably can question if you even saved, because it is scripture talking about how the devil can snatch your seed. And in that chapter where he's talking about the devil can snatch your seed, I think he goes into different details about if, like, the different people that take the word, they get the word first, and then it sounds good, but later on they don't keep it because of different temptations and stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
So my only question, so I don't beat around the bush, is what would it take for somebody to have their name blotted out if Jesus died for all sins and somebody truly saved? Because if you save, you believe it from your heart.
All right, Daryl, let me let you go. I'm gonna get you off the air right now. I'm gonna hang up, then I'm gonna respond to your question. Thanks for your good call. Well, you know, just because Jesus died for somebody, that doesn't mean necessarily they're gonna be saved. Jesus died for everybody, but people who never believe in Christ aren't gonna be saved. John 3:16, as we all know, teaches you gotta believe in Christ. So Jesus died for those people. They never believe. They're not gonna be saved. And so the Bible teaches that we have to continue to be faithful to Christ if we expect to be saved. Have to continue to be faithful. Larry from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, Patrick, this is Larry. Say, I've been listening to all the program tonight, as I always do, but the man that called in named Chris, I caught something from him that I think a little differently. When we sin, we need to ask forgiveness right away. Don't wait till that night and add all of them together. Do you think that's right, Patrick?
Oh, yes. A true seeker, one that truly seeks God, is not going to wait around to ask God to forgive him. He's going to be straightway admit that he was at fault and repent and ask God to forgive him. You're exactly right, Larry. Don't wait around.
Well, and you got to read the whole gospel. The thing is, many, many years ago, there was a group that did that, and they called it the Restoration Movement. And you know what I'm talking about. But mm-hmm. But that's the reason they did. And if we don't take in the whole gospel, the whole account, and just pick out some of it and feel good about it, as you touched on earlier, we will not get it. I mean, I'm not going to change the subject here to a different part of Scripture, but if the Book of James is a good book to read, because faith without works is dead, and that works takes in what we do with what Christ has given us, what he has taught us. And I'll let you go. I know I'm taking too long here, but keep up the good work. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for your encouragement, Larry. You know, I'd like to read a passage from the Old Testament that seems to conclusively help us a lot on this subject. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2 reads, "If you seek him, he will be found. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Yet many denominations teach this once saved, always saved doctrine. They teach that once you become a Christian, once you seek him, you find him, you become a Christian. But even if you forsake him after that, he would never forsake you. But the Bible says if you forsake him after you found him, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. It looks like to me that would conclusively prove that it is possible for a Christian to fall from grace. Once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. Richard from North Carolina, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I guess I got a comment about once saved, always saved. You know, I know some people that believes that, and, you know, it just, it really shows that they believe that they can basically do what they want to or say what they want to. And, you know, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. And if you look back at the Baptist and even the Pentecostal churches of the late 1800s and early 1900s, and, you know, see the pictures, read their articles, read their stories that they wrote, and then compare it to today. You know, with the internet, social media, and teenagers are going crazy with it. You know, they really don't need preachers to be telling them once saved, always saved, because that is going to take away the fear of the Lord. And a lot of people
I agree.
Well, if you got the fear of the Lord, you're ignorant. No, you're not ignorant. You have a lot of respect for the creator of the universe, God who created living beings. It's a lot of respect. And fear of the Lord, we don't need that with the social media. That we don't need that with our schools and the violence within our schools. I believe it shows that once saved, always saved, is a foothold for the devil to get in and convert a conservative or a strong-believing, Bible-believing church and convert it into something that they're loose in their religion.
Richard, thank you so much for your call. I agree with you 100%. I'm going to read Acts 10, verse 35. It's just picking up the middle of the context, but it says, "But in every nation, he that feareth him," referring to God, "and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." So it's right. We need to fear God and work righteousness. And if a Christian quits fearing him and quits working righteousness, this verse says he won't be accepted by God anymore. Kedron from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, actually, I guess it's just a comment as well, but Richard before me pretty much said what I was, you know, I agree with what he was saying. It was in regards to the young gentleman who was asking about, you know, if God died on the cross for our sins, and how can our names be blotted out? Sometimes I feel that people use that and, you know, grace, we're covered by grace, I'm covered by grace and mercy, as a reason to live a sloppy life. God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. As a Christian, we are at all times to be continually trying to strive for holiness and righteousness and to please God and to do the things that he's asked us to do. And, yeah, he died on the cross for our sins, but it doesn't mean for us to just continually. We can do whatever that we want to do. And we have a generation that just believes that, you know, they have a license to do whatever. And God did not die on the cross for a continual sin, habitual sin. That, you know, for the lost, those who are in sin, he died that when we repent and turn away, you know, that we can be made righteousness. That when we confess our sins, like they said earlier, he will cleanse and forgive us and he'll forget it. And then, you know, we can start life anew. It's not a reason or a way that we can live a sloppy life and just not, you know, not be held accountable for our actions.
Thank you for your call, Kedron. You made a lot of good points. Thank you so much for your call. Let me read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. The second part of that verse says, "If we deny him," referring to God, "he also will deny us." Now, that's an absolute statement. It's plain and simple. Here's a person that's become a Christian, but later he denies God. The Bible says here, he will deny us. We won't be saved anymore if that's true. Richard, we got 1 minute. Make your question or comment real quick.
Well, first of all, I think you're dead wrong with your philosophy here, with the way you're thinking. Because Ephesians 2 and 8, "By grace are you saved through faith. It is not of works. It is a gift of God. Therefore, no man can boast." So our salvation is not based upon our righteousness, it is filthy rags before God. So when you confess with your mouth and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you shall be saved. Christians,
all right, Richard, I'm going to have to let you go. I've only got 30 seconds. Thank you for your call. Now, let me address what Richard said. The Bible does say in Ephesians 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith." But what if you lose your faith? A person is saved by grace through faith. He has faith. But then we read Hebrews 3, verse 12. It says you can lose your faith. If you lose your faith, you lose your salvation, even according to Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Appreciate you listening. Be sure and listen next week at this same time, Bible Crossfire.